You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program. American woman, stay away from
me. Well, folks, after seven seasons as host of this show, I kind of let the cat out of the bag when I was interviewing a gentleman named Ravi Zacharias, and I, you know, it was a present tense comment. Whenever we talk about doubt, we usually sterilize it and talk about it in past tense. I went through a season of doubt, but I'm in this season of doubt. I'm having a tough time. I'm not convinced that there's a God. That doesn't mean I'm an atheist. I'm not sure how I feel about the term agnostic. I'm not sure how I feel about terms anyway. So I decided that I'm going to bring this journey out into the light and talk about it on the show in a very public way. And since September, we have had Droogle guests each week. And if you don't know what Droogle means, go to our website, drewmarshall.ca, click on Droogle, and it'll explain it right there. It's basically my search for God. Now, you don't need to go to our website. But you do need to listen to this lady, because if anybody talks smack about this woman, I'm up in their grill so fast. I think I want her as an older sister. Is that fair enough? Kathy Lee Gifford, will you be my older sister?
I don't like the older part. I'll be honest.
Listen, I'm not the one walking around with flop bags, okay?
Oh, you know what? I intend to do something about my flop bags, okay? There's nothing I can do about my age, but my flop bags I have a little control over. But my flop bags are not the problem.
No.
Your soul's the problem.
I know.
So let's talk about that.
I know. First of all, can we just get a little something out of the way?
Sure.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. I have no complaints. I wake up every morning and I say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, because, again, I can't control the weather. I can't control what people say or do. Hmm. But I can control me by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, miracle after miracle after miracle in my life, and I've been thinking about you since you called. We talked, what, about 6 weeks ago or so?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
When you first kind of told me about your struggle.
Have I caused you any sleepless nights? That's
yeah.
What I wanted. Oh, come on.
But I'm postmenopausal. That's all I've got anyway. So I might as well say some prayers for my old pal Drew,
Might as well.
And I think kind of God was sort of speaking to me, because I do believe in him with every ounce of my being, that you longing for some big miracle in your life are missing out on the little miracles, the ordinary miracles, his sovereignty in the small, intimate moments in your life. God is there. And if you're looking for a Mount Sinai experience, he uses those very rarely that I can tell through Scripture, which I read every single day. He uses them then again for his purposes as well. So for whatever reason, if you haven't had some sort of, you know, parting of the Red Sea
So what you're saying is you have experienced small things, but you're just too dense? Desensitized?
No. You've hardened your heart.
Really?
And yeah, and you haven't wanted to, but life experiences and personal disappointments have hardened your heart.
But I haven't jumped into this as a result of some experience. Like, you know, I can...
No, I think you lost your faith incrementally, and I think you're going to gain it back the same way, is what I'm saying. Choice by choice, experience by experience. It's like love. You know, very few people fall in love instantly, and it lasts forever, and it's perfect happily ever after.
Well, you and I aside.
You and I sort of had a, you know, we kind of did have that instant thing. But you know what I'm saying. Love,
yes.
Love is something you have to take care of, or it can die day by day. Yes. Sondheim wrote a brilliant song years ago called Every Day a Little Death. And even though it's a completely secular song, it's true of our spiritual life as well. So when we stop seeking in a reverential, open, unhardened heart way, it's just natural that we're going to build up plaque in our arteries.
But here's the deal. I am seeking. I'm seeking with everything. Here's my analogy. There's two analogies I've used. I think one I shared with you before, so I'll go on to the new one because it has less holes in it. The child in his living room, his parents have a party, there's lots of people over, whatever the deal is. He loses sight of his father. He panics.
Right.
He searches. He can't find his father. And this all came when someone said to me, well, you're going to look back on this time, Drew, and you're going to realize that your father has been with you the whole time. And my thinking with this was, really? This child in the room, crowded with people, can't lose a sight of his father, panics, more and more panic, cries, screams out for his dad, screams out, cries, screams out. Everyone's saying, oh, you know, your father's there. It's okay, your father's there. All the father has to do is come up from behind him and say, I'm here, or put his hand on the kid's shoulder.
Well, then explain Job to me. Explain why this, because you are no Job in that, in his righteousness. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know you well enough to say, I knew Job personally, and you are no Job.
Right.
God, for his own purposes, removed his blessing upon Job's life in a testing of his faith.
Right, but hold on.
And he cried out, and he complained, and all of that. And God had his, God has... We, he is, you are not God, Drew. Let me just, you know, Earth to Drew.
Yes, yes.
You still want to sit on the throne of your life. And
no,
yeah.
I don't. I really don't. I'm smart enough to know that I should serve something bigger than myself. I got that, right? But when it comes to blessing or not blessing or being blessed or not, you know, the Bible says the rain falls upon the just and the unjust. I'm not looking for blessing. I'm not looking for a miracle. I'm not looking for healing.
For a miracle last time we spoke.
But no.
You said, I want to see one of those great moments when I know he is there and he is real.
Right. And if someone wants to say that's a miracle, okay, I get that. Put it in the miracle category. But when people use the term miracle, it usually means a sign or a, you know, God doing some Shazam-y magic thing. I don't want magic from the man. I don't want some kind of dog and pony show. I just want my father to... I want to encounter my father. He can decide what the encounter is. I just want to encounter him.
Here's my point about the little thing. You are encountering him right now with me, loving you, even though sometimes you're very unlovable. And that's why I know God is real, because he gives me the strength and the power to love you.
Amen.
Okay. Your mic is not on.
You know,
when
I was 12 years old or something like that, and I asked Jesus into my heart, that was, let's see, 45 years ago, right? 45 years ago, if somebody had told me when I was 45, I'm going to give you this, if you buy this product, and you're going to love it. It's going to love you back, and you're never going to want to, it's going to always live up to its promises. Now, this is where you and I are different. I look back on the decision I made at 12 years old to ask Jesus into my heart. And I have used now, I'd hate to call him a product, but it's like that's the best analogy I can make.
Yeah, sure.
That person has never let me down in 45 years. He is the only one who has never let me down, including myself, who leads. And he, by the power of the Holy Spirit through him, he sent us the Holy Spirit because we don't have enough strength in ourselves. When I don't have love, I sense God because he gives me love. When I don't feel it, when I don't want to, when I say, they don't deserve it, God says, no, neither do you, so give it as I gave it to you. He gives me forgiveness for the unforgivable. He gives me, he is like walking around with a hair dryer. And you are moaning and groaning about your hair. It's like, I can't do anything with my hair. I can't do anything with my hair.
Oh, sure. Hair comment. Fine. Thank you for that.
Not about your hair. It's about the power that you have access to. But unless you plug it in, you don't see it. You don't see it. It's there. It's there for everyone. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall. Everything shall be opened unto you.
But I can say to you honestly, as I've reflected over this, hindsight, looking back, a little more wisdom these years. Also, I got to admit, a little more pessimism. So blend that in with the hindsight thing. I can sort of say, well, not sort of say, I can say honestly, I don't have those experiences. Ask and you shall receive. I mean, I have prayed for countless things, selfish and unselfish.
Yeah, I just don't think it's over yet. Your time is not. Your morning has not dawned yet.
Right.
You are still in the depths of night. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Faith is the hope of what's unseen.
Okay, why do you believe in God?
Because He lives in me and He has made me. I think I explained it to you a few minutes ago. I believe in God because I become God-like when I trust Him. His power in me gives me. I couldn't forgive my husband before when we went through it, but God helped. Through God, I could. I can't not hate some of the people that say the things they say. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, I love them. I pray for them. They have no power over my life because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And recently, about 2 years ago, I just joined the Today Show, and I said, Lord, He just kept saying, Kathy, seek me first and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I said, Lord, I'm trying. I know you want me to be, you want to be first in my life. And he says, no, you're not listening. Seek me first. Like first day in the, first time, first thing in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you mean even earlier than I get up to go into New York and do the Today Show? And he said, yeah. So I started.
Did he have that same inflection in his voice, like a valley girl?
That's
yeah.
That's what he talked to me, you know? And so I get up now at an even hour earlier than I always did, and I am in the Word, and I cannot tell you the difference it has made by taking that literally. He wants not only to be foremost in our lives, he wants to be first thing we think about in the morning, and then he says, pray without ceasing all day long. And I said, how can that be? How can we pray without ceasing? The way we can be pray without ceasing is to be prayerful at all times and our life be a prayer of rejoicing, a prayer of need, a prayer of comfort for someone else, a prayer of being available to God. And only the only way that's possible is when we get our eyes off ourselves. I think your biggest problem right now is Drew is in love with Drew.
Oh, come on.
You're totally, totally on the throne of, in your own life. And God is a jealous God.
Why would I pursue him in such hot pursuit? Why would I be in such hot pursuit of God if it's all about me? I mean, I joke quite often that it is all about me because I get that. But seriously, why wouldn't I just forget
it? Most of us, it's all about me.
Right.
Most of you can't read scripture. And yet I think what you're missing also in your life is one of the huge tools we have about reaching God. When's the last time you praised?
Mm-hmm.
You should go to Le Brie in Switzerland or something. Stand there in the mountains. Get rid of your BlackBerry and the baggage you're carrying around. Just praise. Mm-hmm. Start with praise for nothing he's given you, nothing he's done in your life, just for the world he created. And you will find out how small you really
yeah,
are.
Yeah, my prayers these days, the praise prayers, because I still pray, as oxymoronish as that sounds, I still my prayers are sort of like, if you're there, I'd like to thank you for this.
Well, I think he's offended by that.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's big enough to be offended, but he is a jealous God. I read Old Testament and New Testament every day, and I tell you, I'm grateful for the New. I like the grace part.
Yeah.
But I was just.
But you like to be scared by
the
old ones.
The other day,
and
I was concerned about you. Where was it in Hebrews, where the Lord was talking about in through Paul or whoever wrote Hebrews? I think it was Paul. Anyway.
But didn't you start this whole thing by saying I was in the Old Testament?
Old and New. I said every single day.
All right, I thought you were going to give me.
This is the problem when somebody takes one thing out of the Old Testament without the whole.
Without a grace factor.
Without grace, yeah. You take the Old Testament and you don't put into the equation Christ on the cross. Whoa, I don't want to live under the law. I don't, you know.
Okay.
I really don't. What I know about you is that you are a really good guy, Drew. You are a good guy, and you're more honest than most. Just to be this open about your faith, your challenge right now. I believe you've probably got a lot more listeners now because they're going, yeah, I feel the way this guy does. And so I think that long term you're going to look back on it and say, wow, Lord, even in the midst of my darkness, you used it. And you're going to, and other people, as we're talking right now, will be touched because the word says, his word never returns void. So even though my words may not be touching you, Drew Marshall, right now, they're touching whoever's listening. His word never returns void. It's the greatest investment you can make in life is to speak truth to power through the Word of God.
Well, let's hope they're going to reach Kim, who wrote in and said, Drew, give it up with your lame ploy. So many churches are hurt by your antics. Your poor wife, I can agree with that one. It's easy to spin when you have control on the radio. Please be gracious. Pack up for the sake of God's reputation.
God's reputation has withstood an awful lot, and I think that God never, ever, he says, come with me even with your questions. So I just think because you did know grace, that it's more upsetting to me to talk to a brother who's losing his faith than to somebody who says it just has never had it, has never experienced grace, has never fallen before the throne of grace and said, thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me on the cross. You know grace. You've experienced it. You asked for your sins to be forgiven. And the Word says that they have been. They have been. Go back and read Hebrews, though. A couple of days ago, I know it's that it's Hebrews, but I don't know the actual
chapter and verse. Verses.
It's all about how dangerous it is for one who has known the truth to walk away from.
Oh, listen, I get the danger factor, again, if you're in that headspace of I'm not really sure there is a God, then the danger factor is a moot point. Because there's no danger if there is no God. You know what I mean? So if you're genuinely in that place where you're saying I'm not sure there is a God, and if there is a God, I'm not sure how personally involved He is. So let's go to our final question, because I don't want to take your time away. Because when you're on the island, you want to be doing island stuff. You don't want to be talking.
No, I'm actually moving right now. I flew up this morning to pack up our house. We're moving.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. So we're leaving the island after about 14 years here. I forget how many.
Wow.
I know.
That's
so
big news.
No, you know what? It's not really. It's again just walking in the Lord and trusting Him, and I prayed about this decision, and He confirmed it every time I turned around. And we're leaving tons of our belongings here, because He said, Kathy, there are no crumbs on my table. Leave everything that does not have a purpose already set to it, and somebody will come and it will be used. So I have a dear Christian brother who lives here on the island, and he can use the money, so I'm paying him to make sure that every chair, every piece of food, everything that I leave in this house goes to somebody who needs it. And because he is such a dear brother in the Lord, I know it will be.
Wow.
It's taken all the pressure off me, and I know that God is taking me on the next step. I don't want to get attached to things, you know, because where your heart is your treasure is where your heart is, and I want my heart. I don't want the clutter in my life.
I've seen your things, and I would have a hard time being detached from those things.
You've been to this house. Is this the house you've been to?
I've been to both. I've been to the old Chiquita, the new Chiquita place, and your this place now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful home, and we have magnificent memories here. And I woke up this morning and got into the Word, and I said, Lord, please show me, confirm again. And this has never happened. I have two verses that I start out the day with all the time, and one of them is, the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? Nehemiah 8:10. I've loved that one since I was 12. Nobody ever quotes Nehemiah.
Really? Especially when you're 12.
Nehemiah 8:10,
you can't even say Nehemiah when you're 12.
See, that's what you don't have right now is your joy, you know? And that's, I think you should just start speaking the word and just do it to see if it works. Not like a mantra, but do it because God says it doesn't return void. I would start praising that way in Scripture, just praising. And then the other one is from Psalm 43, which says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I put my trust in you. Show me the way that I should go, and unto you, for unto you I lift up my soul. That's what you need to do every morning, is lift up your soul to Him and say, I'm giving it to you, Lord. I'm lifting up my soul. You may not be there, but this is all I can do. And I'm telling you, both of those scriptures were in my devotion today. It's probably the only time out of the whole year that those two would show up together in the devotions that I'm reading. I sent you a Jesus Calling. Have you been reading that?
I did. I haven't gone through it all. I had a little, but you know what?
It's called a daily thing. You do it every day. Did you brush your teeth today?
No.
Did you do it yesterday? Are you going to do it tomorrow?
The only thing that kept me going in that book was knowing that Natalie Morales was reading it maybe at the same time I was. Is that bad?
Oh, you are. You know, you might be hopeless. I don't know.
Listen, okay.
You're not hopeless. You are not hopeless, and you are precious, and I love you, and I will continue to pray for you.
But before you go, Kathy Lee, the big question. Have you ever encountered God in a legitimate, bona fide, tangible encounter? Not, I choose to believe it's you, God, but man, that couldn't have been anything else but God. And I mean, encountered Him, not circumstantial. Come on, you know what I mean? Give me something.
See, you just want the miracle.
No. Encounter God?
I want the abiding presence, the abiding promise. I want to live in His peace. Every day, when I pick up a newspaper and there just happens to be something obscene about me or my family or something like that, you know I know He's real, because the first thing I do after being surprised is I pray for that person. My heart is flooded with love for them. Now, if that isn't God, that's God. You know, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is the evidence of Him in our lives. if by trusting him and abiding in him and moving and breathing and having our being in him, we experience the power of the Holy Spirit every moment of our lives. I don't need any more. I don't need the Red Sea to part from me. He just gave me forgiveness for something that is just most people would ruin their day. It would ruin their day.
That's a good answer. I got to admit, that's probably one of the best answers I've had in 12 interviews.
Because it's true. He's saying, this is what I require of you. You're asking, what do you require of God to show him? He requires of us as well that we keep an open heart, that we keep our eyes open and keep our heart unhardened so that we can see the little miracles. That's what I meant. That's a miracle.
But, Kathy, what's been your longest season of doubt? Have you ever had just a ridiculously long season of doubt or ever?
No, because
I think you're one of those people that have been blessed with the gift of faith.
No, I do have the gift. You know what? It has grown as I've gotten deeper into the Word every day. My faith has grown enormously.
But if somebody studies math every morning for an hour, they're going to get better at math.
That's true, too. Here's the thing. When I went through the accusations of the labor issues, and basically was called a child molester when I had just built a home, $14 million home for AIDS and crack babies, to be called a child molester in the midst of that was as close as I've ever known despair. Hmm. And the following year, I went through my husband's infidelity on top of the wounds of the year before. Mm-hmm. So there was a dry period of tremendous hurt and a tremendous need for healing. But I never doubted. I never stopped loving God, ever, through all of that. But I did doubt that he still loved me. And that was hard. Mm-hmm. That was hard because the whole reason I received him to begin with in my life when I was 12 years old is because I felt awashed in his luxurious love. And that was hard because I felt, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why don't you love me anymore? But it wasn't that I didn't love him anymore. I can't see a sunrise without praising him. And I think there are many people that do call themselves atheists or agnostics or whatever, who the beauty of something just in our natural world moves them to tears. That's an act of God, right then. They just don't know what to call it. And we are part of his creation, and the Creator loves what he has created. And he created you, Drew. And all of this is for his purpose. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. You will one day realize that he had a purpose for your dry season. And I can't talk you out of it. I can just love you through it.
Well, your show is number one in the ratings, and my dear, you are number one in my heart as far as the guests I've had over the 8 years. You are the gem of the Drew Marshall Show. Thank you.
I'm privileged to be your friend. May I ask if I can pray for you before we go?
Man, you're the second person to pray. What's with all this random prayer stuff, Tim? What is going on?
We believe in it. Yeah, God loves you or something.
Dear Lord, I lift up my sweet friend and my sweet brother, whether he knows it or not, my sweet brother in Christ, Drew. Lord, you will never leave us or forsake us. He is going through a time of testing and a time of darkness. But you are the light of the world, and you have come that the darkness might be shattered for all time. I claim right now that darkness in his heart will be shattered. The darkness in his mind will be shattered. And we will give you praise, Lord. And we will give you praise even now for what you are doing through his life, whether he knows it or not, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your love never changes, even though our hearts change towards you. You never change your love for us, Lord. Nothing can forsake us from your love. And I praise you for that. I thank you for Drew. I thank you that even though he doesn't see it, you are holding his hand and cradling him this very moment. And I look forward to the day, Lord, when he calls me and says, Cass, guess what? And I will praise you until that day. In your holy name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks.
Love you.
Such a cheeky woman. Thank you. Thanks for the ambush.
You called me, buddy.
All right.
And you keep doing what you're doing and keep seeking, and you will find.
Will you please say good day to Ollie and Rasheem, please, for me?
I surely will. I'll see them in about an hour. I'll give them your love.
Thank you.
Love you, Drew. God bless.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Ah, well, yeah. Radio guys aren't supposed to be speechless.
You got her to cry once, right?
Yeah.
I think this is revenge.
This is revenge.
Yeah.
I do remember that time when she was praying, or we were praying. I can't remember what was happening. She was crying. Frank walked in, comes on the phone and goes, "What are you doing with my woman?" Sorry, Frank. Really am. Yeah, I think we'll just leave that there. We've got lots more coming up. This is maybe a good time to read a few of our Droogle comments that have come in either through our Facebook group or through email or through Twitter. I'm just trying to find short ones because sometimes people rattle on a bit. And, well, maybe I should just reread what I said earlier. Give it up with your lame ploy. So many churches are hurt by your antics. Your poor wife. It's easy to spin when you have control on the radio. Please be gracious and pack up for the sake of God's reputation. Oops.
Wow.
This lady has written to me before with something else just as
encouraging.
As encouraging. And I've emailed her twice to say I'd love to talk over the phone or meet. She says that she's from my hometown. I said, especially since you're my hometown, I'd love to, you know, just catch up and da da da. Anyway, her emails bounce back.
Really?
Fake email address.
Well, that's definitely the loving approach.
Here's Brian from Brampton. I really enjoy the Drew Marshall Show, although I'm concerned about his recent declaration that he doesn't really know if he believes in God after 30 years of being a Christian and wants a sign from God before Christmas. It does sound a bit... never mind. I am sure that Drew knows what Scripture says about those who ask for signs and what Christ said to doubting Thomas. Yeah, but he got the nail hole experience. That's kind
and the side wound, too.
Seriously, if Drew receives a direct sign as he asks, won't his thousands of listeners expect the same? I do think about that. It's like, well, it's like sometimes when a corporation donates to a charity, like the Teen Ranch. I remember I asked for a free tractor one time.
Really?
And we got it. But that said, please don't tell anyone else we did this, because then everybody else goes to them, right?
Right.
Is that same kind of thing?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And what kind?
I'm hoping for an Apple computer, too, if you get one.
You already have one.
No.
And what kind of testimony is it that after 30 years of being a Christian, you don't know if God exists? Yeah, it's not a real good one, Brian, I admit. The analogy of just wanting to be sure your father is sitting behind you doesn't hold, because you wouldn't doubt your father, who you have interacted with in the past, that he doesn't exist if he doesn't reassure you openly he's presently behind you. That was a horribly written sentence there, Brian. I know there are seasons where we follow, believe, and serve God more easily than others. I was fired by a Christian organization over a year ago whose mission statement is, we will honor God and value people with all we do and all our resources. The way I was treated, the slanderous disciplinary letters I was given, and the inconsistent lives of the CEO, managers, and co-workers I encountered, not all of them, just many of them, sent my Christian life reeling for a while. Now I'm slowly coming back to that full commitment again. Why? Because I need God. As one Christian radio host says, we don't just believe in miracles, we count on them. But out of that need comes a renewed memory of God's faithfulness in the past, present, presumably, and in the future. You know, I think back of times I read in the Old Testament about the plight of the Israelites. And
yep.
And I, at the end of it, I usually go, what a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
Because, you know, oh, God, and then God goes, ta-da, and they go, hey, thanks. And then a few weeks later, oh, God,
yeah.
Right? And I guess I'm doing the same thing.
Well, I don't know if that's a fair analogy, because you have not necessarily had that burning bush, the, you know, waters parting, the manna on the ground experience. I mean, I often find myself thinking the same thing, too. Like, you idiots, you get all this stuff and, you know, he's in your face, like physically there, and yet you still can't figure it out. But I know that, you know, the New Testament talks about blessed are those who have not seen or touched these holes. In fact, the doubting Thomas, and still believe. Hmm. And so it's trying to find the balance between, you know, the God that's in your face and physically touching you in your heart, and just going on that Mother Teresa in the dark faith. I get really frustrated with the people who come down on you, like just as a friend, not necessarily as a person involved with the show, but I think people are just ignorant. Like, shut up. Seriously.
This moment brought to you by Hallmark.
Yeah.
Tim Miller.
Shut up.
I don't know what it'll take to get you fully believing in God again, Drew, but let God lead the way and don't give him the parameters. I have been asking that question. Someone said to me, because I'm saying I'd like an encounter with God, and people saying, well, how do you want to? And I'm saying, well, I don't want to put those parameters on there. God shows, you show up any way you want as long as it's a way that I can't just
buy
rationalize, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or the thing that I can get and not miss. Oops, missed it. But some people have said, no, I think you need to give, you know, like lay out some specifics. Like, how do you want God to show? I want you to do X, Y, or Z, and then you'll know. I don't know. I don't think I want to get into that trap, because if it's specific and it happens, it doesn't necessarily mean it's, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
there could be some games you play in your own head.
It's like that silly joke. I probably mentioned this before, but, you know, there's the flood happening and, you know, he goes up the roof, let's go rescue me. And
the boat and the
helicopter. Yeah, and then at the end, God says, I send a boat. I send you know, and so do we see God in that or not?
Maybe a near-death experience would do it. You know how many people have said to me,
let's kill Drew in the name of the Lord.
But do you really want that? No. Scriptures are vague. Well, you know what? Honestly, if it's near death, and then I'm going to come back, I don't know. Do I want that?
Well, I don't want to be away from the mic too long, me personally, so please don't die, almost die right away. Who's
going to
visit you in the hospital?
Died.
Yeah, thank you.
But do you really want, the scriptures are vague on whether you can lose your salvation, maybe it would result in death rather than just near death. In any case, my prayers go with you. I hope you get this sorted out in a positive way and not lead others astray. Like it or not, you're a role model.
Not a fashion model, but maybe a role model.
Yeah. I'll read a quick little bit from this other guy because it's kind of interesting. This is from Jim in Winnipeg.
The Peg, the Mighty Peg.
This is regarding Droogle poop.
Droogle poop? Is there a subsection of Droogle I don't know about?
By way of background, I've been going through the Dark Night of Soul gig these past 4 years, and I'm now at the Dark Soul stage.
Oh, my goodness.
So I thought it was a share time, nothing new, from the outhouse. Many people have been fed the BS line that one size fits all. That's old covenant school. Under the new covenant, God deals with each of us sin's daughters individually. How each person encounters Father is unique only to them. So people's individual encounters might be encouraging, but not directly applicable to another person's situation. No standard 3-point formula. Hold on, it goes on through some other stuff. I've got to skim some things here. So what's a person do until they're awakened to the fact that Father may already be answering your request, even though you don't feel the groove yet? You've asked, and the ball is now in his court. In the meantime, relax, have a few beers, watch the Leafs lose another one, and love those right in front of you. That's
including
the best piece of advice I've ever had.
That's
then one
awesome.
Day, at just the right time for you, by God's calculation, the right response tailored just for you will become obvious. Just don't ask me if it will be in this life or the next, or how many beers this will take. Still waiting for mine. Thanks, Jim, from Winnipeg.
Quick question. So this whole thing, you know, what parameters. Now, does it have to be Christmas, or does it have to be the celebration of Christ's birth? Because one could be in April, and one could be in December.
When you're looking for answers from God, it always has to be new math.
I know.
You know?
I know. I'm just being facetious.
It's like, no, but I get it, and it's humorous in some ways.
But it's also true. Like, if, you know, it is true, because we changed Christ's birthday, right?
I know. Tim just wants to get the point out that he knows when Jesus was really born.
Yes, it was.
And when he's coming again.
Yes.
When is that, Tim?
It's for the concert happening with you and your family.
All right, let's get out of this, folks. That has been our Droogle bit for today. And special thanks to Kathy Lee Gifford for her great words of wisdom. She, you know, I it does bug me when people take the mickey out of her, and especially her family. You know, that's just off limits. And I love her. She's a good lady. Dr. Marv Penner coming up next. He's the Canadian Director of Youth Specialties and Youth Works. And then Emma Chalmers will be joining us. This is our journey segment for today. Boy, there's a tough story this gal has struggling with anorexia. We are going to tackle the eating disorder world right around 3:45 today, folks. So if that interests you, make sure you tune in for that. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.
I smell of wine.